Gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company pays tribute to the great American humorist and wit, the late Fred Allen. This program is presented in observance of the 62nd anniversary of his birth, this Thursday, May 31st. With narrator Jack Haley appearing on the broadcast will be some of Fred's friends from all walks of life. Just a few are Doc Rockwell, Jack Benny, Kenny Delmar, Tallulah Bankhead, Herman Valk, and Uncle Jim Harkins. Also, we'll relive some of the most exciting moments of Fred's programs with, of course, a visit to Allen's Alley. Stay tuned now for A Portrait of Fred Allen on NBC.
Biography in town.
Mr. Allen! Mr. Allen!
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribes, A Portrait of Fred Allen.
There's only one Chaplin, one Buster Keaton, one W.C. Fields, and there was only one Fred Allen.
He liked to say something, and that was the thing I admired most about him. His jokes poked fun at somebody that needed it.
Although caustic at times, never at anyone's expense. He was never cruel. He was always tender and thinking of his fellow man.
The way he talked, the way he think, the way he feel toward people, I had a great respect on him. So I thought he was such a wonderful human being. Good man, shows us good example in our society.
His wit and humor came right out of him just like water out of a faucet.
As he once said to me, I never want to get used to anything I may ever have to do without.
Now, if he's sitting on his own special cloud, he's probably giving everybody up there a wonderful time.
Allen Fred. Born in Boston, and at my birth, a strange thing happened. The doctor slapped me after I started crying. My first brush with a critic. My parents immediately started me in show business by taking an ad in Variety, announcing my arrival. Fred Allen has diaper, will travel. I traveled to the three corners of the earth. Since then, there have been many changes. I'm not referring to the diaper.
Ladies and gentlemen, our narrator, Jack Haley.
No part of the thumbnail autobiography you've just heard is true. Actually, John Florence Sullivan was born in Cambridge. His father was a bookbinder in the Boston Public Library, and there, too, Fred found work as a stack boy while still attending public school in Cambridge. The pay wasn't anything to brag about, 25 cents an hour. Most important is the fact that one day in the stacks, Fred found a book on juggling. Fred began to practice juggling with cigar boxes, rubber balls, and oranges, and while still a youngster, was appearing on amateur nights in the local vaudeville houses. Benny Drone, then a professional vaudevillian, recalls Fred as a youngster.
He was a sort of a pimply-faced kid, very thin, always looked undernourished. I guess he was fatherless and motherless. A couple of maiden aunts raised him.
While still in his teens, Fred appeared as an amateur juggler, wherever he could find a stage to work on and an audience to play to. Whenever he could, Fred returned to Boston University to study, but most of the time he was on the road. He was not a good juggler, and once, when someone in the audience heckled him about it, he replied with a spontaneously funny remark that was far more entertaining than his juggling. As time passed, his juggling became merely an excuse for his coming on stage. What kept him there, and what kept the audience with him, was his dry, witty patter.
I had a room. It was so small, it had removable doorknobs. If you wanted to bend over in your room, you could take off the doorknob just in case. Mrs. Brown's, when you took a bath, you had to keep singing. There was no lock on the bathroom door.
Billed as the world's worst juggler, Fred played in vaudeville houses all over the country. It was on a booking abroad that Fred met his devoted friend, Uncle Jim Harkins.
We were in Australia together in 1915, and he was playing over there on one circuit, and I was playing with my wife on another circuit. And that was when he was a kid, you know, struggling. But even in those days, he was so far ahead of us, who had 5, 6, 8, 10 years on him in the comedy department and everything else. He was way ahead of us. And nobody helped Fred Allen but Fred Allen. Don't ever let anybody tell you that they helped him, because that marvelous creative mind of his is what did everything.
While he was in Australia, Fred's path crossed with that of his old friend, Doc Rockwell.
The people there are very provincial, and they looked on these American actors. We wore different clothes, and they'd run down the streets hoo-hooing and laughing and booing in the theaters. And the ordeal until you finally got through and out of there was terrific. And Fred had quite a little device to annoy the people in the hotels, the hotel providers. He made out of rubber, little sheets of rubber. He cut small little things that looked like footprints and made little rubber stamps out of them. And in the hotel, going from the lavatory, the washbowl, to the bathtub, he would have these little series of footprints that would come out and go over as if they had disappeared down the drain.
The life of a vaudevillian was never an easy one, but for Fred, it was especially hard for a very special reason, Uncle Jim Harkin.
Fred was canceled, not because he didn't do a good act, but because he wasn't understood. The manager would call up and say, I hate to cancel this kid. I laughed like the dickens. The musicians laughed, the stagehands laughed, but our audience didn't know what he was doing, you see? As I say, in those days, we'd say to him, look, why don't you try this? You know, you hate to see a kid canceled so many times. You say, well, why don't you take some old gags and dish them off a plate, you know, and let the audience in on some of it so they can get a feel. He says, no, there must be some intelligent people in this world, and I'm going to hew to that line until I find them. Now, these are days when it took a lot of courage to do that, because don't forget, they were hungry days. They were short dollar days.
Fred was born John Florence Sullivan. In vaudeville, he was known variously as Paul Huckle, Fred St. James, and Freddie James. How he became known as Fred Allen is told by Benny Drone.
He was up in a booking office. A fellow by the name of Edgar Allen used to book the Fox circuit around New York, and he was looking for work, and the guy says, what do you do? He says, I juggle. He says, go right down to the 14th Street Theater, the Fox Theater down there, and get your stuff down there, and you'll be able to go on for the rest of the day, and it's a split week. You'll get the 3 days' pay. So after he left, a man at the theater called up and said, what's this fellow's name he's sending down? Because we'd like to put his name out with the rest of the vaudeville bill in front of the theater. And this fellow, Edgar Allen, said, his name is Edgar Allen. And the fellow on the other side thought he said Fred Allen, so out went Fred Allen, and from then on he was known as Fred Allen.
Fred made his Broadway bow in the passing show of 1922. Later he appeared in Greenwich Village Follies, Three's a Crowd, and The Little Show. Appearing with him in The Little Show were Libby Holman and Clifton Webb.
The first time I ever met Fred was on the stage of the Music Box Theater. We were called there for a reading of the various sketches. And from the moment I met him, I realized that this was a very generous, sympathetic, wonderful man. We played the show for a year in New York, and Fred became a great, great success.
Perhaps one reason for Fred's success is that he was always dedicated to his work.
He was an actor of the old school, you know, a comedian with a fine intellect.
George Jessel.
His talent sort of stood up in the days of Raymond Hitchcock, Nat Goodwin, Willie Collier, and Julius Tannen on the stage. And the lecture halls, he would have ably held his own with any Will Rogers, Peter Finley, Dunn, and all the other giants of a more literate age. As I think of him now, I think that Fred would have been more appreciated in the days of swirling capes and low bows.
Another longtime friend and admirer of Fred's is John Royal.
While many actors were playing the horses of the nightclubs, Fred would be in his dressing room playing the typewriter one finger, either writing for himself or writing for some other artist not so well off who needed some material. He never became competitive with people. Fred never kicked about billing. He never kicked about dressing rooms. All he wanted was a space in one where he could go out and work. Fred never was vicious.
Fred found happiness in his work on the stage. But he found an even greater happiness in a person he met there. Fred and Portland were married on May 4th, 1927. It was an extraordinarily happy marriage.
And this wonderful woman, she was a great inspiration to Fred, everything he did.
Uncle Jim Hawkins.
because he respected her so much. When he would write hour after hour at any time in the morning, she was with him, always. All night when he'd be writing, and she would set the time for him to take the walks. When she'd say, that's enough, let's take a walk, he would drop everything. There was never any such thing as a squabble in that family, and there was no one ever as married as they were, because they were always together everywhere, no matter where they went. He went nowhere without her, and the same with Portman. She never went anywhere without him. And if they walked down the street and holding hands, you know, it wasn't any silly holding hands. It was a beautiful bond between two people that the average person today with this crazy way of living doesn't understand.
In the spring of 1932, after a two-year run in the little show, Fred closed on Broadway. On October 23rd of that year, he appeared in his first radio show.
This is Roger White, Fred Allen's producer in the days of the Linnet Bath Club.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Linnet present another in their series of Linnet Bath Club reviews starring Fred Allen.